All right, would you be so kind as to turn your Bible to the book of Ephesians? I just want to lift up a couple of verses that were very, very important to the Wesleys. And while you're looking for Ephesians 5, let me just say this. A lot of times people get confused, especially as generations continue to move on. And a lot of people say, well, what do you Methodists believe? What do Methodists really believe? The short answer to that question is this. If you want to know what true Wesleyan Methodists believe, look at Charles and John Wesley's hymns. Because they're just chock full of theology. All they did was express what we believe. The song, I think it was Depth of Mercy, and I Want a Principle Within, all talk about sanctification, which simply means that, as some churches will purport, they'll say, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm on a magic carpet ride to heaven, I can just sit back and do nothing, but that's contrary to what Scripture says. Scripture says we should be growing. And John wrote about it. Charles also wrote and sang about it was this. Sanctification is a threefold process in Methodism. We're sanctified or set apart at salvation. In other words, God says, okay, you're now mine. And He sets us apart so that we're different, as Paul says, in the rest of the world. But we're also continuing to be sanctified. As Paul will say, we are being molded into the image of Christ. Now that's a process. You're not going to get that by sitting home and watching reality TV every night. And then finally, there's a final sanctification when we'll be made like Christ at His appearing or when we go home. And John was the one who really said, wait a minute, Scripture says something different than just this one part of sanctification. No, no. It's a threefold process. We have been, we are being, and we will be. That's how God looks at it. And it's a beautiful thing. And that's why Wesley started the class meetings and started the small groups, as we call them, and always encouraged his people to worship daily, because it's another step being molded towards Christ. It's another step in that right direction or that sanctification walk. And one of the ways the Wesleys did that in early Methodism was through music. And they leaned heavily on this passage here that I'm going to lift up for you from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. See then that you walk carefully. You see that? He's talking about our Christian walk, our daily walk with Christ. Be careful how you walk. In other words, don't go around thinking, I'm saved, I'm Teflon, nothing sticks to me, I can do, think, and say whatever I want. He's saying, no, be careful. But he goes on, Paul says, walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You may have heard, when we're ordained, we have to promise the bishop. We have to promise the bishop, using Wesley's words, that we won't trifle away time. Now, I was able to answer that without lying, because I said, I don't understand what trifle means. So, it's all good. But redeeming the time, in other words, looking for every opportunity to be able to serve God. Verse 17, whereby, don't be unwise, listen, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what God's will is. And in the fall, I'm going to be leading a study on how we can, without error, know what God's will is for our life. That's a study I'm going to be leading in the fall. We can know without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, verse 18, and don't be drunk with wine. That is excess. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here you go. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for your holy word. And Father, thank you for preserving it here for us. And thank you for making it so practical for us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would allow now me to be just out of the way. That your Holy Spirit would take these songs that have been written by one of our founders, one of your people. That your Spirit would teach us a word we need to hear, so that we may be able to go forth from this place singing spiritual songs to those who need to hear it. So be with us in these few moments. We'll give you all the praise and glories you richly deserve through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think it was last week I said that even during creation, God had background music going on. Music has always been God's idea of communicating. It has always been God's way of helping us understand. Look throughout the pages of the Old Testament. Every time there was a celebration or a victory of God, there was singing. There was singing. You know, even... Have you ever watched somebody when their favorite team wins a football game? They sing. They dance, don't they? Even if it's something as goofy as, oh yeah, Okay, it's music. It's bad music, but it's music. Not even biblical music, but nevertheless, especially if they beat my 49ers, but nevertheless, there's just something in us that wants to sing. Charles Wesley was one of 19 kids. 19 kids. God bless Susanna, their mom. My God. And boy, what a remarkable lady she was. You ought to read up about her if you can. And Charles, like John, went to Oxford and felt called into the Anglican priesthood. But then John was feeling, wait a minute, you know, the Anglican church here is doing the same thing that the church did when Martin Luther tried to seek reform. And that is, they've become self-focused, they're not looking out to the community and to the world, and they become self-absorbed. And so John, who never officially left the Anglican church either, our founder, never left the Anglican church, although he was kicked out, but he never left. But be that as it may, they started what they called the Holy Club in Oxford, where Charles, John, and another fellow by the name of George Whitefield, we'll get back to him a little bit later, because George Whitefield got kicked out of Methodism. Because he had the audacity to change the lyrics of a hymn. Whew! PC pundits would really have a problem with Charles today. Yes, we're going to sing, our last song's going to be Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That was not what Charles wrote. Now, wouldn't you agree, so you've got to have a little bit of sympathy for George in this case. You know, Hark How the Welkins Ring was the original. What does that mean? What Wesley was trying to communicate was, hark or listen, behold how the heavens are ringing and shining. Well, George Whitefield just said, no. We got to put it more into the language of the people. He changed the words, and even though we sing it, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it's really not what Charles intended. However, one of the tenets of Methodism It's right in our hymnal. John Wesley says, do not change the words of our hymns. I personally don't like the change. You will hear me, even if the language has changed, I'll sing the way I was taught. It's just who I am. Sorry. Stone me if you must. But that's just the way I am. That's what the Holy Spirit led them at that time to write. And so you do it. And so after Charles had this experience, they were saved, but then John, on May 24th, 1738, had what is called a heartwarming experience. He was in church on a Wednesday night. The sermon hadn't even started yet, and it was 8:45 already. My kind of church. And he said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. And I believed that Jesus was my Savior. It was what we call as Methodists the assurance of it. You ever go through periods of doubt and you go, oh my golly, is God really there? Why does God let this happen? Charles just got an extra burst of assurance. About a week later, Charles had the same event happen to him. And then he sat down and he wrote a song. And he said, oh, if I only had 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Now, we're not going to sing all 18 verses of that, which is what it was originally. Even though in the book, John says, sing all the verses. In all due respect, we're not going to do all 18 this morning. But we're going to sing as many as Sue and the group wants to sing, and we'll have the words up on the board for you. For 1,000 tongues to sing, based on Revelation chapter 5, verse 11.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing, my great Redeemer praise, anticipate your heavenly love, and
one such verse that we didn't sing. Look unto Him, ye nations' own, your God, ye fallen race. Look and be saved through faith alone. Be justified by grace. Notice how laden that is with theology. Another verse. Murderers and all ye hellish crew in holy triumph join. In other words, as long as there's breath, there's hope. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Believe the Savior died for you. For me, the Savior died. What just amazing, amazing words. The next one we're going to do is a song that Charles wrote in 1738, and he based it on Hebrews chapter 13, which says, for He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What shall anyone do unto me? One of the things that happened during the time of the Wesleys when they were bringing revival in England is they were persecuted brutally. You know, we really don't understand it. Somebody might make fun of us, and that's as far as it goes, or call us names. John, on many occasions, was drugged through the streets by his hair. They were stoned. They were beaten up. All this because they were just sharing the gospel of Christ. And as we looked at a few weeks ago when Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to try to come alongside the Christians in Thessalonica and say, hey, you didn't miss the second coming. God has not deserted you. He's always with you. Charles wrote this next hymn with that in mind to comfort the people called Methodists in general, but Christians in particular. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Isn't there times in our life when we just are crying out to God and we just want to reach out and to be able to tangibly just hang on to Him and just feel Him holding us and loving us? And Charles wrote this as a reminder to God's people that, hey man, this God loves your soul so much and He's right there. He's always holding you. Even though it doesn't feel like it, He's got you right there in His arms. Jesus, lover of my soul. Because, you know, you could hear on radio or TV, to go this way. Seek the answer for all that you're searching for this way. And yet, even more than 200 years ago, Wesley wrote, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on Thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me," borrowing from Psalm 51. "All my trust on Thee is stayed. All my help from Thee I bring. Cover my defenseless head. Listen, with the shadow of Thy wing." There's that Holy Spirit again. "With the shadow of Thy wing." Oh, mercy. That's really, really good stuff. The next one we're going to look at really is based on a number of different scriptures. One of the things that the Wesleys wanted to do was to be absolutely biblically pure. And they, before, it's kind of interesting, before Charles could actually publish a hymn, he had to go to his brother John, and then the two of them would sit down and search the scriptures together. This next one we're going to sing talks about the second coming. It's based on Matthew 24:30. This is just the first stanza, and Revelation 5:11-13. And the second stanza is based on Revelation 1:7, Zechariah 12:10, and John 19:37. And it's talking about the second coming of Christ. One of our big doctrines in Methodism is that Jesus is coming back again. Amen? He is coming back for us. And we don't know when it's going to be. Maybe we'll go to meet Him before He comes back for us. But as I always like to say, if we go to meet Him or He comes back, either way we win. And the Wesleys wanted us to live with that promise that He's coming back for us. Yes, He's coming back all the time through the Holy Spirit to us now, but He's also coming back one day to take us home. And He wrote a beautiful, beautiful hymn. It's called, "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." You might not know the words, but I think you'll know the tune.
What an interesting thing that the Wesley Brothers would do is they would pick some familiar tunes that were very familiar to the people so that they would remember the words. And some of those tunes were maybe heard in the bars in the tap rooms of England. And this was a traditional English melody, not traditional and familiar to us. So there is an option, and so we were going to do a very traditional, familiar melody to us so that we can remember the words.
Very good. Coming. He's coming back for us. But there was a time when the whole world was waiting, just like we're waiting for Jesus to come back. And many were growing weary around the first century AD. Where's the Messiah? Where is He? My goodness, there's so much political unrest. Who do you trust anymore? The economy's a mess. We can't seem to get ahead. We're farther behind every year. There's so much unrest, so much unfairness, so much injustice in the world. What is going on? That was just the first century. And then, on a lonely night in Bethlehem, the Messiah was born. But those saints that came before us, like us, are longing for His return. And they, our ancestors in the faith, they understand what we go through as well. And the times were no different when Wesley was here. And he understood as Christmas would come, and he would look at the poverty going through England, and how it would break his heart, and how more than just needing a handout, people needed that, yes, but they needed Jesus Christ more than that. Because only He will fill the longing of our hearts. And that's with the fire that was burning inside Charles and John to get the word out to those who were hurting so much. Look, as Mickey Gilley sang, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. We look for answers to life in all the wrong places. Some people will turn on TV, they'll turn on a radio show, they'll go on the internet, they'll check out Facebook. I'm not saying there's anything bad in these things, but what's the motivation for going when God says, just call out to me, and I will answer, and I'll be there. John wrote, "Come thou long expected Jesus," which is probably one of my favorite Advent hymns. We get it mixed up. We call it a Christmas song. It's actually an Advent song. But be that as it may, he originally only wrote two stanzas. Some hymnals you might find four. They were written, the other two verses were written by a more contemporary writer. But the two that Charles penned, one was based on the first stanza based on 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. And which was anticipating from the Old Testament perspective that the Messiah was going to come. And where is He? Does He really exist? God, where are You? And then he wrote what is our second verse, based on Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, Luke 4, 18 and 19, and Romans 6, 22, which really, the second verse, think about it when you're singing it. It's more of a prayer. It's more of a prayer for Christ who has come to come again into our hearts, even as we wait for Him to descend from the clouds again. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Come, thou long expected Jesus.
We're going to move on real quick here. Let me ask you a question. If you come through my confirmation class or any membership class with me, you'll know the answer to this. Here we go. If nobody on planet Earth believed that Jesus Christ was Lord, what would that do to His Lordship? Nothing. You're absolutely right. Nothing! He doesn't need us. We need Him. You see, we get it a little backwards. We need Him. He's Lord no matter what. And yes, although it looks kind of tough out there, I choose to look for the silver lining. I choose to look for the butterfly. I choose to look for the fact that this is my Father's world. And because this is my Father's world, I'm going to rejoice because He's King. It doesn't matter if the media says so or not. It doesn't matter if anybody in authority says so or not. It doesn't matter what the front page of the paper says. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is the philosophy I live by. And what Charles wanted was for all of God's people to live with that. And just imagine if everybody, every single person who claimed the name of Jesus Christ, believed that, and beyond that, lived it, how different the world would be. What a different world this would be if we all would just live by, rejoice, the Lord is King. What was that again? Rejoice. Rejoice. Are you rejoicing in the Lord today? Yes, I had a wonderful time in church. Yes, He went 10 minutes over. Do you believe it? I'm so glad you brought that point up. During the Wesley Revival services in England, a short service was 3 hours. Yes! And now you know why I'm a Methodist! 3 hours they went. And one of the things Charles used to do, because people don't change over the years, a lot of times it's a lot easier to get people to come up and talk in front of people. But try to ask somebody to sing in front of people. That's a scary thing, isn't it? We'll sing in the shower, we'll sing in the car by ourselves with all the windows up and the radio blasting. But to sing in front of people. So what Wesley would do is, he would take in thousands of people and he would just walk all around, singing as loud as he could. And what happened was, the people started singing louder. Hence the name, as I said earlier, Shouting Methodist. And one of the things that was always indigenous in the writings of Charles were two things. Coming of Christ at Christmas and the resurrection. We're going to close with one of my favorite Christmas songs. In fact, if you ever get a chance to hear Amy Grant's version of it, you got to pick it up. It's just awesome. But notice, I'm going to quiz you at the end, okay? I want you to pick up, even though it's a Christmas song, I want you to pick up the Easter line that's in the song. I want you to look for the Easter line that's in this Christmas song. You can't miss it. And isn't that what Christmas is about? You know, as I said at Christmas Eve service last year, in that classic Christmas movie, the one that goes down in history as one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, Elmo Saves Christmas, he says in that movie, keep Christmas with you all through the year. When Christmas is over, save some Christmas cheer. John and Charles would say, Hark, the herald angels are still singing the birth of the Messiah. He's been born. Shouldn't that be the siren song of God's people as well? Let's stand together and close with this one. Now, before the benediction, where was the Easter line? We're going to have to sing it again? No? Close. You got two others. Risen with healing in His wings. Risen with healing in His wings. And for getting that right, you have, hot off the presses, the brand new Thurman Eckfeld sings Charles Wesley's greatest hymns. It's a great CD. It'll make a great Christmas gift coming this year. I hope this service has helped all of us just understand our great heritage. Our founders were very special people. And they've entrusted us with a precious gift, the gospel of Christ. And not only that, over 6,000 hymns that Charles wrote, that we can continue to learn and sing and praise God. And I think, my own opinion, I think some of them we're going to sing in heaven one day as well. I really do. But for now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us now and forevermore. And all of God's people said,